Okay, we're on Zayin Amud Aleph, 7a, about a dozen lines from about to be precise, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 14. First word on the line, Ramile. Okay, so really there's nothing more on the Mishnah to analyze. We've analyzed every single word of the Mishnah. And yet, the next Mishnah is not coming up till Tess on the base, till 9b. So there's another 2 pages plus. So what is there left to talk about? So the discussion now is going to be, well, the Mishnah says you pay from the best of the field. So now, Abaye is going to bring an apparent contradiction. And what is it? So that's what it says. Rummy always means to throw one thing against another. So whenever you have the word rummy, you know, we're talking about a contradiction is being posed. So Abaye presents the following contradiction to Rava. So here. And this is from the following. On the one hand, Siv, it says, and we're very familiar with this verse by now, Meitav Sadehu Umeitav Karmo Yishalem. You pay from the choicest of the field and the choicest of the crops, which clearly implies the following. Meitav ein, meitav yes, that's what you're indeed required to pay. And midi achrine lo, and something else, you're not, it's not acceptable. From the pasuk alone, it seems, it's only pasuk tells us what you pay. You pay from the best property. It seems from the pasuk, there's nothing else to pay. Okay. Now, we're going to bring up Raisa that is going to tell us otherwise. And that's going to be the problem over here. Vahatanya, but we learned in a Raisa where we focus on a specific word. And what is that specific word? The word is Yashiv. Yashiv. Now, let's take a look at where the source is. That sends us to Shmos Chaf Aleph Lamed Gimel. And let's take a look at the context. Shmos Chaf Aleph Lamed Gimel. Shmos Chaf Aleph. See, some are such pleasant programs to deal with. You know, it just does it right away. This one, you get it right away. You don't have any problems here. And some can make you nuts. Okay, Lamed Gimel. Okay, 34. Here it is. 34? Okay, you're right. We're talking about boar. Okay, man makes a boar. Someone falls in. Let's look at the bottom verse. Verse 34. Baal ha-boar yishalem. The owner of the boar pays. Kesef.
Money.
Yashiv. Livalov. The word yashiv, that's a very unusual verb form. The simple meaning is gives. Kesev yashiv livalov. He returns, he gives money to the owner. Okay? So that, now from this word, the Bryce is going to learn something from that. Okay? So here, first of all, already see you can pay money. That's money without question. You see the Torah in one place. Remember, when we have the word, remember this word? Yishalem. That tells us that, well, I guess whatever we said about Shane and Regel, that you pay Yishalem from the Meitav Sadeh, the Meitav Karmo, Yishalem. So Yishalem, you're obviously going to pay from the best, right? Because it could have just said Kesev Yashiv Liboy Love. You didn't have to say the word Yishalem at all. So you already know you could pay land. You already know you could pay the best of the land. But now the Torah is clearly saying that you can pay Kesev also. You can pay money as well. So,
also the best of money. That's
well, no, it just says you pay money. Now, it's interesting, the English is very, it says you give money. It doesn't say
that's
what kind
English,
of money.
But you shall live.
Well, you pay, but that just tells us that you can also give land. You can also give the best land, but you do give kesef, you give money, yashiv. That's the critical word. So on this word, we're going to see now the Gemara analyzes the yashiv. Okay, and this is what the Gemara says. Yashiv, when it says the word yashiv, he shall really means return the money to the owner. And there was a Rashi. How do I get the Rashi?
How do I get the Rashi back?
Yashiv. What does the Pasuk say? Rashi gives you the whole Pasuk. Kesef Yashiv Libalov. Money is returned to its owner. Now, the Havale Lemichtav, the Torah should have written the text a little bit simpler. It should have said, Baal Habor Yeshalem Kesef Libalov. Right? It should say, the owner of the pit pays kesef to the owner. It should have said the owner of the pit pays money to the owner of the animal. Yashiv, that word Yashiv, the kesef Rachman, the Torah writes, Lamali. Why do you have to say that? Holu kvar ksiv yishalem. Once it already says he's paying, so what do you have to say the word Yashiv? Again, let's look again at that pasuk. But Rashi saying it should have said, the owner of Yeshalim Kesev Lebalov. Take out the word Yashiv. Let's look again. Again, Baal HaBor, you should just say Yeshalim Kesev Lebalov. If we took out the word Yashiv, really, the English translation does not deal with the word Yashiv.
It doesn't bother with it at all.
Yeshalim means he shall pay. So he says, and give money to the owner. Fine. But the word yashiv means to return. So the literal, if I was translating this pasuk literally, it would sound like this. The owner of the pit, yishalem, he shall pay money. Yashiv, he shall return to the owner. Now what kind of talk is that? I'm giving you the exact translation. The English is not doing that for you. Baal HaBor, yishalem, pays. Kesev, money. Now what's this word yashiv? Yashiv means he'll return to the owner. Just say, take out the word yashiv. Let's pretend we don't have, let's just ignore the blue. Now read it without the blue. Baal HaBor yishalem kesev livalov. The owner of the pit pays money to the owner. What's wrong with that pasuk? If you write it that way.
If it's only money involved, that's okay.
Well, the word yashiv doesn't help you any. Right. She just means return. Once I say Baal HaBor Yeshalem Kesef,
right.
Don't I know what's going on?
Sure.
The owner of the pit pays
sure.
money. 100%. What this word Yashiv, obviously if I'm paying, I'm paying.
But does return refer to money or to something else?
Well, I don't know. But it's extra. It's totally not necessary.
It says, the beast shall be his.
Forget about the beast.
Well,
forget about
that's what it
no, no, it's nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that. In other words, when I make the pit, now your animal falls and he dies, you got to pay back for another animal. Okay, what about the carcass? Okay, the owner of the pit gets the carcass, but I have to pay him for the damage I did. Well, you pay back for the damage, clear. So if you take out that blue box, it makes sense perfectly. Yishalem kesef levalov. Pay money to the owner. Finished. So that word yashiv, which means he returns, it must be extra. It must be coming to teach us there's an extra kind of returning that you can do beyond regular kesef.
So is that what the make it good in English means? Is that the yashiv?
Where does it say make it good?
No,
oh, shall make it. Yeah, well, that's the thing. What does it mean make it? You're right. What does it mean make it good?
Yeah, I don't know.
The English is trying to deal with a lot, but it's you know, the simple meaning, you know, English is doing its best to give you a run through of what the words mean, right? But it really isn't accurate.
But yeshiva would mean like trying to return to its previous situation, but you can't make the dead animal alive, so.
But why just give money? Finished. Yeah, you give, right, so in other words, forget about the English. The Hebrew itself is a problem. Just get rid of the word yashiv. Obviously, the Torah is trying to tell you something more. That's the point. The Torah has to be telling you something more. Yashiv about returning. So what is it telling us that is more? So the Braisa says this is what it's telling us. Larabos is including Shove Kesef. Anything that's Shove, that's worth money, is also an acceptable payment. Something that's worth money. Okay, is this iPad worth any money?
Sure.
Okay, do you think I could, if I put it on Kijiji or whatever, I'd get some money for it?
Yep.
A 3-month-old iPad 3?
Who's Kijiji?
Whatever. I'll get, let's say, I don't know, give me the lowest price I'd get for it. $300?
Japanese price.
Okay, but it's for sure worth money. It's for sure worth money if I give this to the guy. Say, I haven't got anything, but here, take this. This will pay for it. So, shove a kesef, something that's equal in money. And how far does this go? How far does this go? It's all a brisa. Vafilu subin, even bran. Okay, now bran is like not the most exciting thing in the world to have.
But it keeps you regular.
But if you got bran, I got a big case, like a truckload of bran. So listen, I guess enough bran could be the value of a cow, right? A lot of bran and a lot of selling involved, but that would be what to pay. So let's look at footnote 14 and 15 at the bottom, the lower right hand side. 14. Scripture could simply have written, the owner of the pit shall pay money to the owner. The phrase he shall return is superfluous, and is expounded as indicating that whatever the pit's owner returns to the damaged party is acceptable as payment, even bran, which is by comparison to other items an inferior commodity. So you can even give him something that's very inferior. Of course, it's still got to be able to sell for that money, but I would imagine it's a little more difficult. It's, you know, bran is a lot of bran, right? I mean, how much bran is equal to a steer? Okay, maybe a couple skids, I don't know. Now, that means it's a lot more work to sell it, right? As opposed to a nice, expensive piece of land, just put it on the market, boom, that day, you've got it sold. The bran, you know, you got to go to the Leipzig Fair, you got to do this, you got to do that, it's going to be a bit of a schlep to do this. But that's what the Torah is saying, word yashiv, there's additional returns that you can do, additional payments, even bran. Let's look at footnote 15. Although the verse, the choices of the field is written in regard, now Moore's just asking, he's bringing an interesting question. When it says choice of the field, it's only said by Shane and Regel, while the idea of he shall return appears in the section regarding pit. You might say, well, wait a minute, why doesn't the Gemara just give a simple answer? Now, well, it says the best of the field, that's Shane and Regel. When it says any kind of return, that's Boar. Why don't we say that? But the Gemara does not resolve the contradiction by saying that payment of severe land is required only for regal and shane damage, but not for pit damage. Why does the Gemara just say that? This is because the Gemara above, remember, expounds Xeris Shava, linking all forms of damage to regal and shane. That's why I showed you the word Yishalem over there, teaching that any form of damage out of a pit included must be paid with superior property. So you see that that's the contradiction over there. So is it superior property or inferior? It doesn't get more superior than a choice piece of farmland. It doesn't get much more inferior than tons of bran. So what's going on? Is it the superior field or is it the inferior bran? Is that also included? That appears to be the contradiction. Clear?
Yeah.
Clear. Contradiction from the Mishnah to the Brisa. That is the contradiction, the apparent contradiction. So now I'm going to give a suggested answer as follows. Lo kasha. We could say there's no difficulty over here. And it depends on the situation. Khan, over here in the Brisa, it's midaito. Midaito when he's paying voluntarily. In other words, the guy didn't have to go to court. You know, sometimes guys are very tough, you know. The guy's cow falls into his pit. The guy says, listen, I know it's my fault. I'm telling you it's my fault. You know, same thing, you know, your kid gets into an accident, in a car accident, right? Mm-hmm. First, don't call the police. Whatever you do, we'll take it. You won't have to bother with anything. He says, I admit it. I owe you. What's the cow cost? $200? Fine. So already, he's saving the owner the schlep. The guy says, well, I'm not going to pay you. What do you mean you're not going to pay me? You built a bit. Well, I don't think it was so bad. I'm going to take you to court. Okay, going to court, you already know it's a hassle. It's a day off of work. I mean, it's a big hassle. You have to schlep the guy. Go to the bez and say, you know, I want you to call this guy in for a dinner. It's trip number one. Then they ask, well, what happened? Blah, 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 blah. They say, okay, well, tell him to come there today. Now you got to come a second to go to court and prove this and that. That's a hassle. So if the guy says, listen, I'm not going to make any problems. I'm going to pay you. So if you're voluntarily doing this, then we say you can pay with the bran. Let's see what Rashi has to say. Rashi says, if the mazik pays the damage willingly, he doesn't cause him trouble to scream out against him, to go to Bezdin. If he saves him the hassle of taking him to court, he can give him, he could take subim, bran. But if the damager says, no, I don't want to pay. I don't know if I'm that high. I don't know if the pit was high enough. You know, how high does it have to be exactly? 10 tfachim. To me, it looked like 9 tfachim. Whatever. You know, he's can contest it. And then the Bezin will eventually say he's guilty. And meaning to say, by Bezin, dahainu bal korcho, against his will, he has to pay. Then ain't a mishalim ela kesef. Then he only can pay money. Then he's got to pay, you know, good stuff. Money, cash is always the best. It's even better than good land. But then he's got to come forward with the money. So that's what the Rashi is saying. So that's where the guy is doing it voluntarily, taking it, not having to go to court. So this footnote 16 says, in recognition of this fact, the Torah allows him to pay even with items that are less than superior in quality. That is the price. Let's just finish. Khan, over here in our Mishnah that say you pay from the best land, over here it's Baal Korcha when he has to pay against his will. Footnote 17, he did not pay until the damaged party sued him in court. In view of this fact, the Torah requires that he pay with superior quality property. So that's an interesting way of resolving the contradiction. When the guy is being belligerent, and you have to take him to court, and it's a whole schlep, then when he's guilty, they throw the book at him. They say, you got to pay. Obviously, if he has cash, he pays cash, obviously, but there's no cash, boom, best property, finished. On the other hand, the guy comes forward and says, no, I'm sorry, it's my fault, let's not go to court, I'm going to pay you right away. And if he's willing to do that, then it is... he can give brand. Now, obviously, the question can come up, which we're not talking about now, is what if the guy says, that's nice of you, but I don't want brand?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's what the Torah is including, other forms of payment if you haven't schlepped them to court. We'll have to deal with that another time. But so that's the answer.
So who makes this assumption that it's okay to do it to pay without a thing? Well, I mean, what is it?
What? That's the answer of Rava. Abaye asked the contradiction to Rava, and Rava gave the following answer.
It's kind of nebulous conclusion.
Well, the truth of the matter is, if you think about it, if a guy damaged something of you, and now, let's think about it even in contemporary terms. A guy, you know, it's a small claims court, right? Guy damaged you, whatever, his car ran over your garden and destroyed $100 worth of your nice flowers.
Right.
Okay. So now, if the guy says, you know, go take me to court. Okay, what are you going to do nowadays? Because I'm not paying. Go take me to court. You're going to... Okay, it gets to a point... So if you do, it's a big bother. The guy says, listen, I have $100 worth of brand here. You want to take it or leave it? Yeah. Or take me to court?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do? Here's my iPad. You know, it's an old one. It's an iPad 1, right? And it's worth $100. You want that or you want to take me to court? And we could fight it out and we could, you know... Get to a point where it's worth it for the guy, as long as you're willing to pay me. The truth is, he can sell the brand. It's not that it's not like he's giving the guy garbage that's worth zero. It's not like, oh, I have a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
A-track.
Like, it's worth zero. But no, you can sell the brand. You will get $100, but it's going to be a schlep. That inconvenience factor. No difference than, you know, a guy banks into your car. You have two ways of looking at it. You can, you know, when the guy says, let's not take it to court. Let's do the insurance companies. So the guy says, okay, but now I got to get the estimates. The damagee has to get three estimates. Give me this. The guy says, yeah, I don't want to bother with this. I'll just make the claim against you and forget it. And I'll get everything I want. So, see, there are differences here. So the Torah is saying, listen, if you're making it easy on the guy is willing to have a little bit of more effort in trying to sell it than having to schlep the whole thing into a court. It gets to a point where you'd rather, the guy said, go take me to court.
For sure.
Okay, so if you take the $100 worth of brand, you finish. Okay, so you know what? All I got to do now is find a way to sell the brand, which I eventually will. Okay, it's a bother.
That's
a bother
too.
But court is worse. Court is worse because you're going to spend more time till you bring the evidence and this and that. And you have to hire a lawyer. All these, it adds up. The guy's willing to settle out of court. It's always when you settle out of court, it means you're willing to take less because you don't want to bother to go to court. This is settling out of court. And the guy's voluntarily asking for that. Okay, if the guy says no, then the guy will say, okay, so take me to court. Okay, here's the $100. I don't want it. And the guy says, okay, then take me to court. I'm going to take you to court. It's going to be a big schlep. It's going to be a big hassle. So that's what we're answering over. That is the answer. However, and now another rabbi is going to even prove it from the way the text is written. Omar Ula, Bray de Rabbi Loi. Ula, the son of Rabbi Loi, commenting on this answer of Rava, says the following. Dekanami. This distinction is also indicated. Deka, it means you can see it from the roof. If you look carefully at the verses over there, you're going to see it seems to make sense. If you look carefully at the verses, it seems that the verses of the Torah are implying this concept as well. As Rashi says, Degabe Meitav, because by Meitav, Ksiv Yishalem, by Meitav it says Yishalem, he shall pay. Dimashman appears Yishalem Balkorcho against his will. So that's what he's saying in the next line. Dixiv, because the Torah says, by Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmo, Yishalem, Dixiv Yishalem, Rashi again, Mashma. Now, well, 1 second. This Rashi's jumping a gun. I don't know why he's putting this Rashi over here. This Rashi does not be a belong here right now. Let's continue in the text.
But Yishalem,
Baal Korcho, which means against his will. The word Yishalem means he shall pay. It means to say we force the guy to pay. Why are you saying you force the guy to pay? Because that's when you pay the best. When we force, the Gemara thinks that the word yishalem, shale means to pay. Yishale means he is forced to pay. That's what Gemara thinks it means. Interesting, on footnote 18, Rashi does not explain how the expression he shall pay implies paying against one's will any more than the expression he shall return. Where did the Gemara get that Yishalem means against his will versus Yashiv? Remember we had by the boar, it says Yashiv, he shall return. In which you got two words, the word Yishalem and Yashiv. Rashi doesn't seem to say, how does Yishalem mean against his will more so than Yashiv? So they bring another commentary who gives an ingenious thing that we'll leave that for now. I don't want to bother with that. I'll tell you why in a minute. But anyway, that's what they want to say, Yishalem. So that's his answer. Yishalem means against his will. Gemara quickly says, what are you talking about? Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, against your will, it would have to be written a little bit different. Why? Me, Kasiv, does it right. Yishulam. Yishulam means shall be paid. When you have the word yishulam means shall be paid, that means you're forced to pay.
As opposed to
yishalem ksiv. But it writes yishalem, he shall pay. He shall pay. It doesn't mean it shall be paid. Yishalem means voluntary payment. So this diuk, this saying the text supports, I think, is not true. Okay, Yishalem does not, even said Yishulam means it has to be paid. It shall be paid. Meaning, you know, if you want to or not, it shall be paid. That means you're forced. Yishalem does not mean you're forced. It just means he shall be paid. So the proof is off, and the rabbis go even more than that. Once the proof is off, therefore they suggest that the whole answer goes off. You have to remember, there's two stages here. First, we ask the contradiction. Then we said, well, one is speaking where he's willing to pay, one where he's not willing to pay. Then another says, and I'll prove it to you, because when the Torah says Yishalem, it means we force him. Gemara says, no, that proof is incorrect. It didn't say Yishulam, it said Yishalem. So although the proof is off, Gemara says, once the proof is off, Gemara assumes the entire answer is off. Because now you have no textual support to the answer that you're saying.
Rabbi, how could they use Yishulam and Yishulam are the same one after the other?
They're not. They're saying you're making a mistake. In other words, the first rabbi said, I'm going to prove to you it means it's against his will because it says Yishalem as opposed to Yashiv.
But here they use
Because he's saying you're wrong. You're using the wrong word. It didn't say Yishulam. If it would have said Yishulam, you would have been right. Yeah. But it didn't say that. It said Yishalem.
Right.
So Yishalem does not mean against his will. Okay. So let's take a look at some notes up to this point. Let's just wait 1 second. 2 seconds. 3 seconds. First time in the day it's slow to start the batteries. Okay, we got to get rid of that class. And we go over here. We go over here. Okay, here we go. It was right here the whole time. Oh, I had it here the whole time. Okay. Come on. Okay. Do it the old fashioned. Okay, here we go. Sugya number 20. Are there other forms of compensation payments besides Meitav Sadeh, the best of the damager's property? Question of contradiction of Abaye. From the best of his field and vineyard he will pay, teaches that only Edus may be paid. However, Brisa says he will return, teaches that Shava Kesef, that means something worth money, may be given, even brand. That was the contradiction. Answer number one of Rava. The victim cannot refuse to be paid with Edis when the damager initiates compensation before going to Besdin.
Why did the victim refuse? Edis is the best.
The victim cannot refuse when the damager initiates compensation.
Right, with Edis. Edis is the best. Why would she refuse?
No. He doesn't have to accept that because he's voluntarily doing it, so now he has permission to give less than Edis.
Why should he refuse when it's praying with Edis? This is the best. Why would
it's,
he refuse?
It's not worded properly. Let's fix this up.
The victim cannot refuse to be paid with bran.
Yeah. Okay.
Why is this name this?
Or inferior.
Biased is. No.
Let's go back. A little mistake here. Come on.
Should have written Ishwam.
All right, you're forcing me to do this. No. With Bran.
Did we ever say that he can't refuse Bran?
Cannot refuse to be paid with Bran when the damager initiates compensation before going to Besdin?
Even that doesn't make sense because he refuses. He says, let's go to court.
He wants to pay Bran, maybe you have to look further.
Cannot refuse is
maybe the commentaries.
He can accept to be paid. That's something else.
Well,
let's
see the other commentaries here. Kami Daito, Besdin.
Okay. The victim can accept to be paid with Bran.
Let's say it like this.
Yeah, you're right. Can accept anything.
Well, let's just say the...
Yeah, but it refused to be paid with Brent.
Let's say the damager... We'll say like this. The damager... Yes, the damager can offer... I'm going to correct a few things. Can offer compensation. Can offer compensation...
Before going to Beit Din, even from Bran.
Offer can offer compensation with Bran when the damager initiates compensation before going to Beit Din. When the damager is forced to pay through Beit Din, he must pay from Edis. Okay.
Yes, right.
Now, support to this answer from Ula Brei de Rav Ila. Yishalem means he will pay against the wishes of the victim. Rejection, it doesn't say Yishulam, he caused or forced to pay, rather he will pay, which connotes that he willingly pays. So there appears to be no distinction as one pays from Edis, both willingly and against his will. It says Yishalem, doesn't make a distinction, you always pay Edis. So we remain with a contradiction that needs to be answered. Okay, and the next, so that's answer number one is out. Answer number two is going to come from Abaye, but to know that we have to learn a very lengthy brisa, which we're not going to have time to even come close to finishing, so we're going to leave us at hanging. So right now we have a contradiction without an answer, and then next week we're going to see what the other answers are. Okay? Shelly, you got a problem? You're furrowing your brow.
Yeah, no, number three, he will...